Seems like it's hard to live, doesn't it? Having a heart that wants the lost people to be saved is the heart of God. And I think disciples of Jesus, who is a God that leading us back to him, could help us in that way. It's very mindful when definitely you're faced with phone calls like I got Wednesday night. And I know Sally's here and her family, and our hearts go out to you and your loss. If you have not heard yet, Howard it seemed to have had a massive heart attack on Wednesday evening. And now he's in God's eternal care. Anytime you deal with death, it's a sobering thing. But also it can be a time of reflection and a kind of a time of renewal. Because we need to look at our life always. Really, actually, we are asked to come together on a weekly basis and remember Jesus' suffering and his blood that was shed and his death to remind us of something. And that is to remind us that this world's not our home. We're passing through it. God intended, I believe, this earth to be the realm that we would live in forever, but the first two people messed it up. And then Satan's been prowling around convincing people to follow their own nature, follow their own will, and actually messing up what God's life he intended for us. And so I think what we need to do is, even though we share in sorrow for a family, people who believe in Jesus Christ, we get to have a different feeling inside about it, mourn when it's needed to be mourned, but also to realize that we don't have to have a sorrow that has no hope. Pleased, my first priority in everything that I do and who I'm becoming. I think we get caught up into too much of, and I understand it contributes to it, but we contribute to society, we contribute to parenting, we contribute all these other things instead of contributing our sinful nature for the reason why we get ourselves where we serve our own will. It's just the way I've been raised, I hear. Well, okay, that is true, and it does have an impact on you. But I believe when we make a confession that we believe in God and that Jesus is the Messiah, if we don't get this next part about making it our goal to please him, the only way we can do that is understanding that we need to follow Jesus because he's the one that God voiced out on the mountainside and at Jesus' baptism that this was his son in whom I am well pleased. And then you hear him say, listen to him, and Jesus says, follow me. And if we just took that seriously, to understand that it's not about committing yourself to a group of people that has a certain name, that has a certain kind of what I would call church kind of theology, but it's about getting into the Word and really examining it and then actually looking at Jesus' life, see how he fulfilled it, because he fulfilled the law and then actually make steps in my life to imitate him. Working together with all the different gifts that is given. And we're talking about the word disciple. We can use the word Christian, that's okay. It's just biblically, if you look at it, it's used very few times. But really, disciple and Christian are to be the same thing. A Christ follower, or a learner, or a follower of Jesus. But there's something about disciple word that it was used so much more in Scripture and understood by the early church. I mean, I think one statistic I read that disciple in the four Gospels was used around 238 times as a noun and roughly maybe four or a few as a verb. Okay, so it's really important. It's a word that's used and it's really important. See, I used to think that disciples only meant the 12. Well, there were 12 disciples, but they were given the role of apostasy, to get the word out. And then you're going to see that they are to help other people get the word out. And that's why some are to be evangelists, some are to be teachers, some are to be pastors, because the spiritual realm of following Jesus is a difficult thing when you got Satan prowling around the world. And he's trying to convince you there's no way that you can make steps to be more like Jesus. So why try? Well, so what we do is we create these churches that we just come and say, well, I know I can't fully be like Jesus, so I'm not going to really try, but at least what will make him happy if I just show up and hear it taught. And then I make no changes in my life. And we're going to get to one here in just a minute that I really believe is the most difficult part to change in me, and it just might be the most difficult part to change in you. And we'll share that verse in just a moment. But disciple was a term that Jesus used frequently, and it was understood by the church even long after Jesus went back to heaven. And so to use it is not wrong. Actually, to get back to it and practice it is what we need to do. To know what a disciple is and to put it into practice. To live a life well-pleasing to God is to be a disciple of Jesus, learn from him in his life, and in his life you'll see him being obedient to the Father's will. And then when I imitate that and live that same decision-making of doing the will of the Father as Jesus did, I follow him, and then God's well-pleased with me as well. Now, that's as simple as I can make it. And I know we've got to probably name some of our distractions of it. What's getting in the way? Could it be just, this is the way I thought church was supposed to be done? And then when you call people to more relationships, you know, it's amazing to me how difficult we have when you hear about we need to increase our one-to-one relationships to help each other spiritually, that we struggle with having anybody else in our life. And to talk about Jesus, no, we talk about him at church. But when the church comes over to my house, it's more easier to talk about the game, the weather, and everything else, which actually now has been a lot of the conversation that happens in the church house. And so how do we get that aim back and aim high that we want to grow into the likeness of our Lord and Savior? So that we can be a group of people that God says, I'm well pleased with that group. Doesn't mean they're perfect, but they are striving on a daily basis to follow the Lord. Now, what David read, David, you didn't make that up. Did you kind of just write it out and just say, okay, Cammie, could you put it on PowerPoint, and I'm going to read my words. This is what I believe. You didn't do that. He read from Mark. Mark wrote what God had inspired him to write. And didn't I hear in there something about denying self and taking up my own cross? Okay, I got two people second here. Did you see that? Did you see that part? Okay, you saw that part. How serious is that? Do we just say, well, that's just impossible? I don't believe God asks us to be anything different than what he's created us to be at first. The problem with being Christ-like is the battle between our sinful nature and God's nature. That's the problem. And that's the struggle we have. Now, what we have is we've got a great God that's full of grace and mercy, and that if we come to him with those weaknesses and we come to him with those sins, he's willing to forgive. And he's willing to revive. So, on this slide, my goal in life is to please God. I please God by being like Jesus. What about God knows I'm not perfect, but he expects me to be growing into the likeness of his son. That's why Jesus says, you can't get back to where the Father would like for you to be unless you come through me. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the way. And we got a lot of confessing to do. That's what, you know, really, in some ways, I'm starting to learn that I would love to be able to create an environment, which I can't. It has to be done by God's Spirit living inside of people. But I can just start with me, to where just confessing the areas that I'm not Jesus-like to people that would encourage me and build me up, and just say, I'll walk with you on that journey. I think that's what you're going to start hearing a little bit more, and I know it's going to be easy to make anything that a church does in groups, it's going to be easy to make it a program. And we don't want a program. What we want is just pockets of people like Jesus chose, getting together, talking about the difficulties of being like Jesus. But then how can we encourage each other, and what can we do to put into practice the things that Jesus would want us to become? And then I got a support of other people. Nobody's there going to throw the stone. If we do, we're not practicing. We're turning into Pharisees. Okay, if we do throw stones. And then they couldn't even throw stones because, yep, they had to realize they didn't, like Bob said last week, we didn't witness. They didn't witness the woman caught in adultery. So, aiming high. Goal to please God, number one. Number two, grow in the good work. This is Philippians 1:6. Grow in the good work that has already started in you. You know, when you're baptized into Christ, there's something that is working from within trying to get out. And so it is the Spirit of God that he gives as holiness to learn how to live holy, and that your holy living is something expressed through action. Okay, so you got to grow in that. We can't just baptize people and forget that we need to spiritually grow. Because, yes, we want forgiveness. We need Jesus as our Savior, but we need him as our Lord to be our authority in life. And then, here, go out. Number three in aiming high is imitate Jesus' life. Now you say, well, I can't be like Jesus. Look like he was able to go up to that fella and spit in some mud and put it on his, and then he is able to see again. I don't think that's what God's calling us to do. Jesus did that to actually kind of, well, first of all, he had compassion, because that's who God is, and God is love. And so he did that because it was needed to be done. Somebody was hurting. But also somebody had faith. Somebody would believe. And then he would show his identity because he has the power. But you know where you and I can show the power of God? In how he's working on me. That's how we show God is evident. As we become more what God intended us to be, we'll show the power in the resurrection of Jesus. So, you got to keep that in mind. Now, I know you're going to feel like a whipped pup when you roll out of here, but I want to also just say, look, all we have to do is refocus and help each other. And there's nobody here ready to throw a first stone. So, where are areas of Jesus' life that you and I can learn from and practice? I just jotted down three of them so we can chew on them for a while. Number one, his teachings. His teachings. In John 8, verses 31 through 32, he said, if you just hold on to my teaching. Now, I believe memorization of his teaching is a good thing because at least you know what they are. But I believe holding on means more than just memorizing. Holding on means that you live by them. They're in you. The words of Christ dwell in you. And he says, if you hold on to them, you get to know what my teaching is. And he taught a lot about the kingdom. And you got to remember, the kingdom is about the reign of God in somebody's life. Who's your king? Whose kingdom do you live in? So to the point, if you hold on and you live by my teachings, then you're really a learner of me. Then you'll learn from me. You'll know what the truth is, and that truth will set you free. What? Free from what? The part of me that is not what God intended me to be. He never intended me to be a selfish person. You know, if I would hold on to the teachings of Jesus and look at his teachings, you're going to find a lot of teachings on selflessness. And if I held on to that and try to put that into practice, the more I become less selfish and more serving. Okay? So it's just a process, but you got to get the process going. You and I need to. And so he tells us we need to live by our identities in that. A commitment to be a disciple of Jesus is the adherence to and the obedience of his teachings. Jesus' teaching must be given authority and superiority in your life, okay, and in my life. Now, a knowledge of his teaching isn't enough. A disciple of Jesus practices what he's taught. And that's why we need to hear learning a little bit more. Jesus taught that a disciple of his would reproduce his life in their own. Now, I'm not making that up either, so I want you to go to John chapter 15. Okay, John chapter 15. Make sure David didn't make up his verse. We know he didn't. I'm not making up this one either, but these are words coming from Jesus' heart. This is our Lord and Savior speaking. Now, if we had him in the flesh, how many of you would sit up and take attention? All you'd have to do is just walk in here and say, Kevin, sit down. Let me take over. And you knew he was Jesus, your Lord. Would you pay attention? Now, what he decided to do is go back up into heaven because he was confined to regions. So if he could just get into the hearts of other believers and speakers of his teaching, then he could spread his word to a lot more people. So here's what he said. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Now he could have just stopped right there. You're already clean since the words I've already spoken to you, so you don't have to do a thing. Just be happy to be clean. He didn't stop there. He goes on and says, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So I am the vine, you are the branches, and if you remain in me, I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to be to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be what? Show yourself to be a disciple. Now, he doesn't say, when you come up out of the baptistry, that's it. I've done that for you, that's it. He said, you need to remain in me, but also I need to remain in you. Because what you're committing to is Christ to come live in your life. That's what new birth is about. Inviting Jesus by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, to come and live in me so that I will show that I'm a disciple by the way that I am now living, because I'm living more for holiness than I am for ungodliness. But there's a transformation. You go from baby to an adult. And that's another lesson in itself, because transformation is so important for our spiritual growth. But I just want to at least lay it on your heart. Jesus says, to be my disciples, you got to let me stay inside you. And I need to be your authority for the way that you live. So John 13, verse 34 to 35, he asked to tell, while Jesus lived among his disciples, the world, they would know that they were his disciples by the way they loved one another. Now, used to, I kind of think like, well, that's kind of hard to challenge the church, the love, because they're a bunch of loving people. But you know where it catches us? Are we truly loving the way Jesus has loved us? That's the kicker. And he tells his disciples here, people are going to get to know that you are actually learning from me if you learn how to love like I have loved. So there's a goal of a discipleship group. Learn how Jesus loved and then go out and practice that love, starting with each other. And then other people will get to know they must be following somebody, and we get to tell them it's just Jesus' teachings. If anybody ever asks you why you're doing such a kind thing, don't take credit for it. Just say, this is Jesus' teachings. That gives Jesus great PR. We need to do good things to other people. It's not because we're a great church. It's because we got a great Savior. And we're just trying to follow his teachings. Now, here's the part. So that's his teachings. What, number two, his model. Three areas to grow in, his teachings and his model. He put it into action. Now, here's the hard part. So I need you to go to this verse, because I didn't make this one up either. Philippians chapter 2. And find verse 5. And again, Jesus is not talking here, but this is what the writer Paul had learned from Jesus' teachings. Okay, so he writes them down. And again, when we read this, this is not made up by us. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Who being, now he describes the mindset here, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, what did David read? Disciples need to deny themselves and carry their own cross. Now, it says in our relationship, you and me, I can easily shake hands and smile. I really can. But we need to develop relationships, I think, like Jesus did with each other, to the point to where we get to check the mindset of Jesus and then start practicing that with each other. And then we'll practice that to the world, showing the love of Christ that he has showed to us. Now, I always thought it was very interesting. Jesus is not saying here and making an argument that he isn't God. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that he needed to come down here and share the teachings that would please God. And he needed to model them. So if he kept a hold of his God true being, all he would need to do is say, come and serve me. I'll sit on the throne, and you just keep coming to me. He couldn't do that, because if you follow that, guess who you make God? Yourself. If we would just follow Jesus saying, come and serve me, then we make ourselves God. And as far as I remember, there's one true God, and I'm not him. Anybody agree with that? Now, I'd like for you to say it. There's one true God, and I'm not him. So Jesus modeled a life that even though he was equally God, he came down not considering that. So that as you follow his model, you would please the Lord by serving the Lord. So he became a servant. He humbled himself to obey as a human being. And then you can follow that. Because you can follow what another human being has done. And so, even though he was God, and he deserves to be praised and served, Jesus, as the Word becoming flesh, humbled himself so that we could see his model of life and become a servant. But even to the point to where it's a death on the cross. How can we ever learn how to die to ourselves if Jesus didn't die to himself? We just can't do it. But to be a true disciple is actually noticing that and hear the call. Kevin, you need to learn how to deny yourself and come and follow me. And the model of Jesus was by faithfulness, even in the face of adversity. In Matthew 4, he was tempted in every way. Satan tried to get him in the wilderness to obey him. And even at his weakest moment physically, he said no to Satan. And then his ministry, number three, his ministry and his mission. And this is what we're going to talk about a little bit more, because I know it's a little hot and we're a little tired. Okay? But we're going to talk a little bit more about this. This is the one I think we struggle with the most. I'm not saying we as a congregation, we as churches who claim to believe in Jesus, is making his ministry this church's ministry, his mission this church's mission. Because I like church the way I want it. Don't you? And if you've majored in the minors, you're really going to mess things up, because you're going to get upset when you change something that you can change. It's just a method. And then there goes Jesus' attitude out the window, because I'm going to make sure those servants are not going to be served. I'm going to make sure I'm served. Okay? And that creeps and crawls throughout churches. That's why we say, I think Satan spends more time in churches than he does in a lot of places, because he's trying to cause chaos. So, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Now, first of all, before we get there in their blanks, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, his ministry was served not to be served. That should be the Hickory Church of Christ ministry, right there. We're not out to be served ourselves. We're out to serve other people. Okay? Then the second one is that he gave his life as a ransom so that he came and seeked and saved the lost. That should be our mission. That's what Jesus is. Now, if we're going to be the called out ones of Jesus Christ and put it on the sign out door, we need to live by it and practice it. Jesus never lost sight of why he came to live on earth. His ministry was to reveal the nature of God, his mission, and he gave his life so that the lost that were separated from God could have a way to be saved. Discipleship is following in fellowship with other disciples. Now I'm going to end with two verses. It's down at the bottom, and the one that will shake us in our boots. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 10 through 11. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we are alive, we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. 1 John 4, 16 through 17. And so we know and rely on the love of God that he has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love, in the love of God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like him. And then this one. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. We're going to give you a chance to respond. So you don't have to leave here with any kind of guilt. Just express it. Express it to Tim and Purcell. Express it to one another. And we're going to be kind of outlining these little pockets of hopefully almost like 8 to 10 to 12 people that really would just get together periodically to know how to encourage each other on a weekly or a daily basis to live for Jesus and to become more like him. We can study about a whole bunch of things, and we can know a lot of things about the Bible, but if we're missing the mark that we need to become more like Jesus, we're missing the most important teaching back to the Father. And so hopefully we can practice that together. And again, we're not going to throw any stones. If we do, we'll have to deal with it. It's just loving people, learning how to love like Jesus. Let's pray.